Okay, so we have the great privilege of welcoming one of our dear friends, Grace Turner, who's going to be ministering the word this morning. But I'd just like Grace and Nick to come up, because I'd just like to introduce them to those who don't know them yet. Grace and Nick have a relationship going back years and years and years with Faye. I once popped along to Canterbury and saw Grace when I was much younger, hadn't got grey hair. But it's been really wonderful, and I feel that every time Grace and Nick come to the church, almost every year of since the church was planted, Grace and Nick have come, they bring something fresh from the Lord, which just really impacts people. So I'm expectant today that God's going to do really wonderful things in our midst. So why don't you welcome Grace and Nick? And I'll just pray for Grace and then hand over to her. Father, we just want to thank you for Grace. She loves you so much, and it's so obvious to us all. And Lord, thank you that she's been listening to you and waiting to hear what you've got to say for us. And so, Lord, I pray that today many, many people in this place will be impacted. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. It's really lovely to be with you. And when I was talking to Damien about what we should do this weekend, I suggested that, you know, yesterday morning we talk on physical healing, as I think you probably gathered, and in the afternoon on inner healing. And so this talk is going to carry on from there. But I said to Damien, what would be really nice is if we had a guest service, so that we sort of explain the faith afresh to anybody who's a guest. So if you are a guest, even though I come from Exeter, welcome. And we've got a reading. Ray, you've got a reading, haven't you, of just a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Can we actually have 15 to 21, Ray?
If you could turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, old things have become new.
That's fine. It isn't in verse 21. I just thought, that's the verse I want. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. That verse is saying that the purpose of Jesus dying was to transform us. That is the whole purpose of Jesus' death and resurrection at Easter. So I hope that you will be a very kind church to me, because I'm using a visual aid. So some people think visual aids are only for children. But I used this a little while ago, and there was a guy there from a very prestigious business, and he said to me, you could have used this visual, you could have come into the middle of my office and used that visual aid, and it would have been true for every guy in my office. So the humble tea bag is an illustration, okay, of what happens to us in life. And the first thing to be said about it, of course, is that there is a label stuck on it. And I guess this is something that, if you were there yesterday, we talked about. Almost all of us, at some point in an or other in our life, get a label stuck on us. People say, either our friends or our parents or our teachers, someone says something that just seems to stick to us. Either you're useless, you're ugly, you're you know, you're never going to be good enough, you're a failure. I don't know if you know the pubs, the Wetherspoon pubs, you know, and restaurants. But I live in Exeter, and the guy that started the Wetherspoons pubs lives in Exeter, so we've got about four of them. And his name is not Wetherspoon. The pubs were named after a teacher of his who told him he'd never amount to anything. So, quite fun, isn't it? And actually, we all have that, don't we? We all have things said about us, and even if we don't outwardly admit it, inwardly, it's like it becomes defining about us. And often, we said this yesterday, what do you say when you're really down? What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? You know, oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, I'm such an, you know, what is it that comes out of your mouth? Often, it's that kind of thing, that lie or that label that's been stuck on you. So I had a student come to see me one time, and she had real difficulties in relating in a large group. And I started to talk to her, and she said that when she was at school, I don't know if this happens in your school, but people used to sing songs over one another, really cruel songs. And she said, they sang a song about me. And I said, do you know what, can you still remember it? Well, of course you could still remember it. It went to the tune of Little Boxes, and it started, my name is, and it put in her name. And then it says, I'm so useless, I'm so ugly, I should drown myself in a pool. And you know, that song had been sung over her as a young girl, and it had become a defining thing for her. And as she stopped singing, you know, God just gave it to me. There was a song that we used to sing in church at that time, which is full of scripture. It was God's word over us. And I just started to sing it straight away. And it went like this. I will change your name. You will no longer be afraid. I will change your name. Your new name will be Comfortfulness, Friend of God, One Who Seeks My Face. You know, God sings a song over you as well. And it's a song of good things. It's truth rather than lies. And so many of us, we live under that lie, that label, just like there's a label on a tea bag, we live under a label that the enemy Satan puts on us. And when Jesus comes into our life, he says, that will no longer define you. What defines you? You are defined by the person who loves you. And if that person is God, if Jesus is the one who loves you, you are defined by that, not by any word that anybody's ever spoken over you that is negative. And if you look at Jesus' touch, he went to the prostitute, the woman that, you know, everybody kind of skirted, only businessman Zacchaeus. He went to the tired and frustrated housewife, changed simply because they were defined by his love. And if you talk to any of the people here who are Christians today, their lives have changed because of the love of Jesus. Primarily, that is what's happened. And you've heard that from some of these people. And we just read that thing. If anyone is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. The old has gone. So, okay, that's the first thing. Jesus gets rid of the labels as the first thing he wants to do for you. He wants to break any lie that's been over your head, any label that you're living under. Somebody just came up and she read a little bit out of the scripture, and it was about someone way, and she was just feeling like there's somebody here, you know, who's wounded. And you're thinking, why has all this happened about God? Is he doesn't just take your label off, but then once you are healed on the inside, you are able to say there's healing available for you. That's why it's happened to you, because the second thing is that there is still a string. And, you know, I live in a part of Exeter. Quite a few of the folks that come to our church are either coming out of addiction or they have come out of addiction. And they've often turned to drugs and alcohol and other things to depend on when they're the most sad. Maybe you don't turn to drugs and alcohol. Maybe you turn to something else. Maybe it's chocolate. I really like chocolate. But, you know... And I'm not saying that chocolate's wrong, because my husband will remind me of it if I do. But but what I am saying is we turn to depend on things, don't we? And after a while, suddenly we discover that the thing that we depended on suddenly is the one that's called. We used to do a drama on the streets in Canterbury of people who were under that kind of thing. You know, there was a one guy would go out and he'd be injecting, and not really, but in drama, and another person would be drinking, and another person would be doing something else. And there would be this kind of shadowy figure who stood for the enemy, Satan, who was kind of whipping them into doing these things that they didn't want to do. And he was putting them into imaginary cages. And then someone walked out dressed in white, who is Jesus, and he went to release these people from the cages, and the enemy started to whip Jesus, and eventually, in the drama, he was, put up on a cross. And as he was on the cross, and the enemy was just laughing and enjoying it, suddenly Jesus opened his hand on the cross, and there was a key in his hand. And he came down off the cross and he started opening all the cages. You know, because the wonderful thing about Jesus was he didn't just die to take the punishment for all the things that we did wrong, but he rose again in order to set us free from those things. And that's the wonderful thing. And that's why the string, sometimes it's not a thing that is pulling our string, it's people. Sometimes we feel manipulated by people. For me, growing up, the thing that was pulling my string was other people's opinion. I was so worried about what other people thought about me. And that was the thing that seemed to always pull me back. And Jesus was the one who cut that and set me free. You know, about 2 months ago, Nick was reading an article in The Guardian. Now, normally speaking, when you read an article in The Guardian, you don't burst into an article in The Guardian. I don't know if you've read it. It's incredibly, it's sad, but it's absolutely, she woke up one morning to put on the news, she heard it on the news, first of all, that had gone out that morning, gone into a school, an Amish school, faith school, separated the boys from the girls, and shot a whole bunch of little girls, two little sisters, 10 and 12. Lots of other little girls died, one little six-year-old terribly brain damaged, and then he shot himself. And this woman is dealing with, first of all, how did I not see that there was that going on in my son? You know, and secondly, bereavement, because her son had died. People were kind of pointing them out as, you know, these monster people who had a son like that. Press were there in force, you know, long-angled lenses through came out of the church. She saw, you know, it was just bristling with press. And then out from the trees, a long line of people came, which had come to stand between her and the press. They all held hands and they stood between her and the press to give her the privacy to bury her son with dignity. And when she turned away from the graveyard, from the grave weeping, two people stepped out from the line. It was the father and mother of the two little children who had been killed by her son. And they grasped her hands with tears in their eyes. "We are so sorry for your loss," they said. She started to go and visit the parents of the little brain-damaged six-year-old, the child. And so she begged them, "Can I go every day?" And seeing that for 10 years. And the people of God have assimilated this woman. Pull them. They haven't been hate-filled. They haven't refused to forgive. Their instant reaction is belief, isn't it? What God can do to people who submit to him. This is such a wonderful thing. You've heard lots and lots of people saying today, "My life has changed because God takes the impossible." You're probably sitting there thinking, "I couldn't have done that. I'm not sure I could, but I believe that Jesus would have helped me to do it because he cuts those strings that pull us and keep us, you know, bitter and unforgiving." And so, okay, we've got rid of the label, we've got rid of the string, but we've still got black stuff inside. Now, you recognize this is tea, of course, but I'm going to try and get rid of it. Get my lovely assistant to come and help me in a minute. I'd lovely assistant until I need you again. So, okay, get rid of those labels for us. He can cut the string, but unless we deal with ourselves, know our wrong, unless we deal with it, it just keeps coming back, doesn't it? And we realize that if there's a God who cares for us, he can do something about those habits, those sinful things that we do, that we seem to feel as though we cannot do anything about. I heard a story, I don't know if you've heard this story, it happened about 50 years ago. It was a missionary who went to Irian Jaya. Irian Jaya is kind of next to Papua New Guinea, you know, it's an island of Indonesia. And he was an extremely brave man because Irian Jaya had only just come out of cannibalism. And so he had every possibility of ending up in the pot. But he turned up there and they were pleased to have him because he brought with him axes with which to cut down trees and chop up the enemy and stuff. And he brought some medicine. But he had a big problem. He was going with the love of God. He wanted to tell them the story of Jesus. And what he had omitted to discover was this particular tribe really thought that the most clever thing you could ever do was to betray someone. So when he told the story of Jesus, when he got to the bit about Judas betraying him, they thumped the ground, they laughed, they thought Judas was the absolute hero of the story, which was kind of difficult if you're a missionary. So he carried on kind of loving them and trying to talk to them about the love of God, but it didn't sort of go with the neighboring tribe. They were always fighting with this neighboring tribe, and he heard the drums going, the great war battle. And the missionary was up all night kind of fixing up people and helping the wound. I have to go because I'm trying to tell you that peace is possible, that the love of God of keeping the peace. And the chief said, oh, there is a way. The missionary heard the drums going again. And he was summoned to a big clearing in the middle of the forest. And in the clearing, his chief was standing at the top of a long line of warriors. And the enemy chief was opposite him on the other side of the clearing with a long line of warriors. And this chief, there'd been a lot of child mortality. He only had one baby son alive. And his wife brought the baby son out and he took the son and he walked down the line of his warriors and every warrior touched the little body as it went past. And then he went over to the enemy chief and he gave the child to the enemy chief and he walked down his line of warriors. Every warrior who touched the body was promising, while this child is alive, I will keep the peace. And that peace child was the one who was signaling peace between the two tribes and them. And he said, God sent a peace child to us, because we can't fight against God with, you know, spears and bows and arrows, but every vicious thought, every cruel word that we speak over people, every unkind action hurts the heart of God, you see. And so he, because it was impossible for us to keep the peace, he sent Jesus to take in his body the punishment for every single unkind or cruel thing that we've ever done in our life. And the wonderful thing about Jesus, that baby that lived in Irian Jaya, it would die one day and the peace would be broken. But the thing about Jesus, of course, was that he rose from the dead. And so you can have peace with God today and you can have it forever. And that is the most wonderful news that there is on God's earth, I believe. And, so where's my lovely assistant? Here we are. The thing is, the Lord comes, and when we come to him and we ask him to be our Savior, he empties out all that that black sin. But we don't want to be left empty then, do we? Because all that will happen is we'll fill it all up again with sin. So what happens is this. God, if you didn't know this, this is a little known fact if you're not a Christian, but you really need to know it. Christians believe that Jesus sends his spirit to live within us. He sets us on fire. I hope this is going to work. He sets us on fire, love for people, and he burns up all that's bad in us, and he sets us free. So, I told Faye, I guarantee you're going to use this illustration after me. I know she will. And the thing is, we are able then to do things that we could never do before. Lots of the people who said that they felt they were physically healed yesterday, you notice, I don't think I prayed for one of them. You know, it was just ordinary people in the congregation. Not that I'm not ordinary, you understand, but what I'm trying to say is it's not the person coming in from outside who does it. We get to go and pray for the sick and they get healed. Why? Because we're filled with the Spirit. We get to hear God speak to us. Why? Because his Spirit speaks to us. And you heard lots of people saying that. So what I'd like to do is I want to pray for different kind of sets of people here today. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do first so that you're all ready, so that you know if it's you. So the first kind of person I want to pray for is maybe there's some people here and you know about God, but you would have to say that you don't know him like some of the people here know him, and that you would like to. And so what I'm going to do in a little while is I'm going to ask everybody, don't do it yet, but I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes so that nobody's looking except me. And if you want to come to God and ask him to be your savior for the first time, to get rid of your labels, to get rid of your sin, and to fill you with the fire of his spirit, all I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand. And then I'm going to pray a prayer which you can follow me, not out loud. You can just follow in your heart, asking Jesus to be your savior. And it's the most wonderful thing you'll ever do. You will never, ever regret it. I promise you. So that's the first kind of person. Secondly, there may be people here, you are believers, but you know, just like some of the people yesterday, you need to be time. And I'm going to pray a releasing prayer for that. And then we'll all stand up, and I don't think there's a single person in the room that doesn't need more of the Spirit, so we'll invite him to come, yeah? But let's just sit where we are, and I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes so that I'm the only person who's really looking. And I want to give an invitation. If you have known about God, but you haven't known him, and today you want to ask him into your life as your savior, would you just raise your hand, please? Yeah, I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Great. I'm going to pray a prayer now for you. And you don't need to pray this out loud. Just pray it in your heart after me. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for dying for me. Thank you for taking my sin. I know I have done wrong. I ask you by your Spirit to come into my life now to be my Lord. I promise you that I will follow you and obey you for the rest of my life. And I thank you that you have come because you promised you would, and that I will have peace with God for the rest of my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'm going to pray for some of you who've had kind of labels over your life. Lord Jesus, I really want to pray that you would come now. I thank you that you are the truth. And the enemy Satan speaks lies over our life, people's life. The lie that they are not loved. The lie that they are a fake, that I'm just not good enough. Or the lie that I'm ugly, I'm not acceptable for God. If there's something that you just feel you've been labeled with from the beginning, from little childhood, that people have said over you. And in the name of Jesus, I release you now from every lie of the enemy. Be released in Jesus Christ's name. I break the power of every lie. I thank you, Jesus, that you are truth, and you come in your power and you break the power of every lie over everybody's life. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak truth over these lives, that you would speak the love of God into every life, that every person here would not just be free from lies, but open to the truth of the love of Jesus in their heart and life. I believe that what the Lord's saying right now is, I am saying the exact opposite of what that is. And that is what Jesus is speaking over you right now, setting you free. Let's all stand. And Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you that you come to set us free from so much. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you that we felt the power of God here this morning. Lord, we think of the way that you don't just break lies, but that you cut the strings that pull us, and you set us free to be those who aren't captive to bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. But you set us free, like those Amish people, to be those who reflect every person here today. We just invite you to come. Lord, I pray that it would be as though Jesus comes right in front of Some of you, as you're standing there, you just know that there is a presence standing right before you. It's the Lord Jesus by his Spirit just standing in front of you. Some of you feel warmth in a part of your body. That is just an expression of the Holy Spirit touching you. Not everybody feels that. Boy, some of you feel like weeping, but that is just the power of God's Spirit coming. Love has that effect on us. Spirit. Some of you have wanted to feel the Spirit for a long time, and I feel like the enemy said to you, you're the one to you today. God is there for you. God is there for you. He hears your cry, and he is there for you today. Lord Jesus, I thank you that when your Spirit is here in power, you come with gifts as well. And I just want to pray that you would come with a gift of healing to some people as they stand here. Just reach out for him. And for others, Lord, that you're going to speak just a word of scripture or give them a picture in their mind's eye. You're going to speak to them because that's what your lovely Spirit does. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Lord Jesus. So for some of you here today, the Holy Spirit is coming like a dove and he's placing peace on your heart. For some of you, he's coming like fire and he's putting within you such a deep desire, you a light for the first time. For some of you, with his presence. For in. Freshness of the love of Jesus. So you have a gift, because for each person you would have died just for them. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you. We invite your Spirit to totally transform us and to send us out as people who are redemptive people, who take all those labels, rip them up, and go to others who have labels and speak with authority over them that God loves them and he wants to set them free. Lord, we thank you in your mighty name.